I'm so fascinated, so interested by Jesus. There's no other human being, and of course Jesus is more. He's God, and he's human in his incarnation. There's no other human being that comes close to the fascination that I have with Jesus. And I mean, name anybody in history, past, present, living, now. There's none that comes close in my interest and amazement as Jesus. And the more that I know him, the more that I study about him, the more that I know him personally, because he's the risen Lord, the more interested and fascinated and amazed I become. It's like, you know, sometimes when you look at something or someone more closely, you might be turned away by it or find that it's not maybe as interesting as you first thought. But with Jesus, he's more interesting than I first thought. He's more amazing, and there's even more to know about him. And as we go through the gospel accounts, I mean, many of you have probably read through them multiple times in your life, as have I. But as I read through them again and again and again, I'm always learning more and going deeper in my amazement and my interest and my love of Jesus and my understanding of him. And it deepens my faith, and it deepens my awe. How the brilliance of him, the grace of him, the self-giving love of him, the identity that this is the Son of God incarnate. This is a very God of very God who came into our history becoming a human to die for our sins and rise from the dead, that he loves us, that he's present with us even now as the risen Lord, and that one day we're going to see him face to face. There's so much in the Gospels and in the that document the ministry of Jesus on earth. There's so much in there that's fascinating. And so we're going to be going through Luke, and I pray that for each of us, it's going to be an experience of getting to know Jesus more, or if you don't know him at all, coming to know him for the first time. And so beginning your knowledge of Jesus and walking as his disciple, as one who is secure and saved by his blood. And so I'm excited to study Luke, because in Luke we meet Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. Luke, who you may know was a Gentile Christian and a companion of Paul, we learn this in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. If you're taking notes, you can go back and look at that later. Luke was a Christian, a Gentile, and he is a historian and a physician and a co-minister with Paul. And so we learn about that in Colossians 4, 10 through 14. And he wrote his gospel account around 60 AD. And part of the way that we know that is that we have Acts, the second part of his two-volume work, Luke Acts, which ends with Paul in prison in Rome. So it ends around 62 AD. And so we know he wrote Luke before that. And so sometime around 60 AD, he wrote Luke. And he wrote it to a man named Theophilus, who he calls excellent, which is a noble title. He was probably the scholars think of the equestrian rank, so a very wealthy man, and probably was a patron of Luke, and a believer. His name's Greek, so a Gentile, a believer in Christ, and Luke writes his gospel, and in the introduction, he says that he's writing it to Theophilus, which isn't just Theophilus, but for us as well. And in his introduction, we learn about what Luke is doing and why he wrote it. And so I'm going to turn to this introduction, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and invite you, if you're able, to please rise for the reading of God's word. And we'll read Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. And I love hearing the baby noises in our congregation. It's wonderful. We've got six, and it's always a joy to hear infants. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So Luke gives an introduction, and in his introduction, he tells us what he's doing and why he's doing it. He says, you know, he's written a researched, it says, having followed all things closely for some time, there in verse 3, in verse 1, he says that he has seemed good to him also, verse 3, to write an orderly account for you, an orderly account that he's followed. He's interviewed the eyewitnesses. You know, there's content in Luke that's unique to Luke that's not in the other three gospel accounts. There's a lot of shared overlap as well. But things like there's some parables in Luke. I think 9 parables that are unique to Luke that we don't have recorded in the other gospel accounts. Also, some of the infancy and childhood information about Jesus. And so where did Luke get that? Well, he probably interviewed Mary. Like, where does he get this information about what was going on when Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to the Messiah? He probably interviewed Mary and other eyewitnesses. He was a co-minister, as I mentioned, of Paul, and rubbed shoulders with many of these eyewitnesses and interviewed them, and he put together this careful account all under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so he was a historian as well as a physician. He was very careful in what he was doing in researching and documenting these things. And he writes for us an orderly account, he says, of the things that have been accomplished among us. So this is an orderly account of the things that have been accomplished among us. So that's what he's doing. He's writing an orderly account about Christ and his earthly ministry. He's writing this account about things that have been accomplished among us. And we're going to come back to that word accomplished because it's a really important word in a little bit. NIV, I think, says it as that have been fulfilled among us. We're going to come back to that in a bit. But he's writing this orderly account of these things concerning Christ and his kingdom, his salvation, that have been accomplished among us. And he says also why he's doing it. He says to Theophilus, verse 4, that you may have certainty. That is, the word there has to do with full knowledge about these certain events. So these true certain events, that his knowledge might be fuller, that his confidence might increase, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. So Theophilus had been taught these things of the gospel. He apparently was himself a believer. So Luke's writing to a fellow believer, but one that Luke wants to minister to, such that Theophilus's confidence in these things that he's heard and believes, which are true, that his confidence in them would grow. And so Luke knows that these things are true, are certain, these things that have been accomplished among us or fulfilled among us, and that by offering an account of them, this narrative, this ordered account of them, it will help Theophilus have a fuller personal knowledge and confidence in them, a fuller personal knowledge of them and confidence in them. Now, as I mentioned, Theophilus seems to be a Christian brother and maybe even a patron of Luke's. He's maybe funding Luke's research, giving Luke the opportunity to do this research through funding. And Luke and Luke wants to help him grow in the understanding and the confidence of his faith. But Luke's approach here in relaying and giving an account of the historicity and the scriptural fulfillment of Jesus' earthly ministry is a ministry approach that also helps unbelievers come to faith, doubting believers overcome their doubts, and confident believers grow deeper in our knowledge of Christ and his ministry. So wherever you are with respect to these categories, Luke is just what the doctor ordered. He wants to minister to you like he wanted to minister to Theophilus. The truth of these things about Jesus and his life and his ministry, his identity, he wants the truth of Jesus that he's laying out in his gospel account to grow faith, and if you don't have faith, that you would come to faith in these things that are certain and true, and that you would grow in faith if you do have faith in Christ as you study more about Jesus. As you see him in the text, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Luke knows that's exactly what takes place when we pay attention to and listen to these things. My dad once asked me which event recorded in the Bible I would like to have been present for, and there are so many. But I mentioned the walk on the road to Emmaus, during which the risen Jesus interpreted the scriptures, which are concerning himself, to the two disciples that he was walking with. And this event is recorded in Luke. It's not recorded in the other Gospels, but it's recorded in Luke, and it's recorded at almost the very end of Luke. And it's a kind of bookend, actually, to the beginning of Luke. Luke begins by saying that he's going to relay to us things that were accomplished, fulfilled, historical things that happened that fulfill Old Testament scriptures. And he's giving a narrative account of that at the beginning of his gospel account. At the end, Jesus walks with these disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they say, "These things that have happened among us." And Jesus takes them to the scripture and shows how these things that have happened among them were foretold in scripture. So at the end of Luke, he also is emphasizing the fact that these are occurrences. These are historical events. Christ in his ministry is historical. These things that have happened among us, and they were foretold by scriptures long ago. And Luke is bookended by this emphasis. And so, like I said, we're going to come back to that word that's both translated as accomplished and fulfilled, because it's a key to understanding what Luke is doing in his gospel account. He wants us to see and grow in our faith, or if you don't have faith, come to faith in Christ concerning him and his ministry, which both happened and were foretold. It's amazing. And on the road to Emmaus, I want to turn there and read it so you can see how this emphasis on the historical occurrence of these events in Christ and his earthly ministry both happened and were foretold. So Luke chapter 24, 18 to 27. I want to read this and keep in mind what we just read in the intro. Luke 24, 18 to 27. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, that is Jesus, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" The things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So the things concerning himself that were foretold have happened, and Jesus and Luke is wanting us to see, as Jesus does with those on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus and his ministry in bringing the kingdom of God and coming for us in our salvation, these things happened, and they were in fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures, promises, prophecies, predictions, patterns in the Bible. It all comes to a head and a culmination in Christ, who has fulfilled those things in his earthly ministry and will continue, is continuing to fulfill some of them, things that we even yet look forward to that will come, and even as he is among us, as Luke documents then in the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, continue to take place through the Holy Spirit before Christ returns. So you see, the historicity and the fulfillment of the things that have happened in Christ are so important, and Luke knows that they minister to those who hear and deal with them seriously. history and fulfillment. God, who sent his son into our history for us and our salvation and to bring his kingdom, is sovereign over history and is the author of the scriptures behind all the various human authors he used to write it. And he has amazingly promised our salvation and worked it in the sending of his son. He's promised it. He's accomplished our salvation in the sending of his son. Promise and fulfillment, history, it's happened. Christ has been crucified, he's risen, and he will come again. I want to draw your attention to the word I mentioned in verse 1 that's translated in the ESV as accomplished and in the NIV as fulfilled. They're both right ways to translate the word, actually, which conveys both the historicity, the happenings of these things, they happened, the historicity of them, and the purposed nature of them, the purposed nature of these things that happened. They were intended to happen according to plan. They were a fulfillment of prophecies and promises given before. So they happened, and they fulfilled earlier prophecies and promises. These things are both matters of historical accomplishment and scriptural fulfillment. And so when you think about it, it's amazing. Luke wants us to understand that what happened among us in the ministry of Jesus, that he's referring to in his day, and that of course continues in the resurrection Christ ministry among us, these things, they happened and they fulfilled what God had promised beforehand. Their history as well as fulfillments of things planned by God and promised and prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. And Luke knows that by relating these amazing things, these amazing true things, and it's amazing both that they happened, as we're going to read through Luke, some of the things that Jesus did are so amazing. Miracles, his death, his resurrection, his teachings, what a brilliant teacher he is. I mean, Jesus' whole ministry is pervaded by amazingness. And it happened, and Luke wants us to know that. It's true. So what are you going to do with the truth? Luke's telling us the truth. These things happened. And he wants us to know, not only did they happen, they were foretold. This is part of God's sovereign, gracious plan. And so it's amazing from that side of things as well. These true things that happened were long foretold, long known. Of course God is behind it. He's behind it in the prophetic nature of it. He's behind it in the amazing nature of it. The miracles, overcoming death, the brilliance of the teaching, all this we see is the ministry of the Son of God among us. And so Luke wants us to, because Luke understands that when you take this seriously, when you take this historical and fulfilled account in Jesus' life and ministry seriously, it grows faith. And if people don't have faith, they come to faith, because what Luke is conveying is true. It's the way of salvation. It's the way of knowing God. It's the way of hope and eternal life, which is in Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. And so Luke knows that this is powerful for ministry, for those who have ears to hear, for those who pay attention, for those who actually take in what is being conveyed and give serious and prayerful and careful attention to it. It's life transforming. It's and so Luke knows this for Theophilus. He knows it for any comes to approach it in such a way. And so we see that this word accomplished and fulfilled is important to Luke. These things have happened, they've occurred historically, and they've been predicted, and they're a fulfillment of what has been predicted and prophesied. I had a spiritual turning point when I was in high school, when I became more serious about and confident in and committed in my faith in Christ. And I was in high school, and one of the things that the Lord used to grow my confidence is this article that a friend of mine and a mentor gave to me. And I remember it had an acronym. The whole article was based on this acronym for MAPS, M-A-P-S. And I remember I took it and I took some packing tape, and I laminated that thing with packing tape, and I carried it around with me. Because it was a boost to my confidence in my faith. And it was also a tool that I wanted to use to help others to either come to faith in Christ or to strengthen their faith in Christ as it had been for me. And the MAPS stood for, it was an acronym, it stood for Manuscripts, Archaeology, Prophecy, and Statistics. And what the author did in this, it was a brief article, and it went through some of the things that show that the manuscripts of the Bible are historically reliable. And so the manuscript reliability of the Bible, and then archaeological corroboration, the corroboration of archaeological finds, and then prophetic fulfillment, it documented some of the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament that many, many, many years later came to fulfillment in Christ. This amazing truth of these things. And then statistical attestation. There's no way, you know, just using a statistical sort of analysis, there's no way that these things happened by chance. These were planned, and these were intentional. These are the work of God. And so, as I say, I had this laminated, and I carried it around with me, and it strengthened my faith. Because one of the things it did is it corroborated what I already believed, that these things that have been accomplished in Christ are historically true in fulfillments of Scripture. And that is amazing. And it bolstered my faith. That's the sort of thing that Luke is doing with Theophilus. You see, the Christian faith stands or falls on the historicity of Christ and his ministry on earth that's foretold in the Old Testament Scriptures. And Luke, the believer and careful historian, knows this, and so he has taken pains to narrate an accurate account for us about Christ to increase faith in the truth of the history and fulfillments of the ministry of Christ. The Christian faith, as Luke knows, absolutely stands as true history and scriptural fulfillment. And Luke knows that anybody who is willing to fairly investigate these things will find them to be such. There was a man named William Ramsay who lived at the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. He was a Scottish academic, and he was a skeptic about the historic reliability of Luke's writings. This is what he had been taught in the schools that he was trained up in, and he was a skeptic about the historical reliability, in particular of Luke and in particular of Acts, but all of Luke's writings. And he decided to do some on-the-ground investigation of the historical data that's recorded in Acts. This is Luke's second volume. And we pick up now, church historian Stephen Nichols says this. He says about Ramsay, who was a skeptic, "But after years of investigating every single detail, of retracing places mentioned in Acts, and looking at all of the authorities, Ramsay came to the exact opposite conclusion," that is, opposite to his skepticism. "He came to the conclusion that not only was Luke a great historian, but that Luke was," and he quotes him, "among the historians of the first rank," close quote. Ramsay, Nichols goes on, "Ramsay found that Luke's accounts, as recorded in both the Gospel and in the sequel to the Gospel, the book of Acts, to be trustworthy and true." As another example, I'll briefly mention this historian of note in our day. She's alive today. Her name's Molly Worthington. She's an academic historian, and she recently came to faith in Christ. I mean, this is in like the last year or so, and she's a bit of a public intellectual, so it made a bit of a splash. She recently came to faith in Christ after her own investigation of the data, and especially after investigating the resurrection of Christ, a historical fact, as she came to realize that is the only reasonable explanation for what happened on that third day and subsequently to and through the disciples. And so she has come, after her own investigation, by the grace of God, to be a believer in Christ. This is the sort of thing that Luke knows can, and by the Holy Spirit, will happen to anybody who fairly investigates the historical facts of Christ. They'll come to realize that they are facts, and that they happened, and that they're fulfillments of long foretold scriptures, which only points to one thing, that this is the work of God. For us in our salvation, it's his plan, it's his work, it's his story. And Luke is recording that for us in the gospel according to Luke, where he takes up, as he says, to write an account of things accomplished among us, some of which are not included in the other gospel accounts. And he's not exhaustive, because there's some things that are recorded in the other gospel accounts, but he knows that what he is recording is true and will minister to anybody who comes and approaches it in the way of that Ramsay and Worthington came to. So what Luke is telling us, you see, is true. The gospel is true. And an obvious and massively important question is, what are you going to do with it? Luke is telling us the truth about Christ and his ministry, the way of salvation, these things that have happened among us. So what are you going to do with it? There's no one more interesting in the history of humanity than Jesus Christ, and no one more important. You can't pick a single person, not even close, that's as interesting, as important, to spend some time studying as Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do with it? Or what are you doing with it? You see, because Jesus doesn't just, and Luke doesn't just, give you this information for you to assent to mentally, although they both want you to do that because it's true, but that it's a call as well to discipleship, to trust in Christ for salvation, and to follow him as his disciple. So how are you responding to Jesus? He's able to be known and followed if you want to. He's alive today. We're going to meet him in Luke as we study Luke, and we're going to meet the risen Christ in the pages of Scripture that he's given us. He's able to be known personally and followed, known as Savior and Lord and followed if you want to. He is the way and the truth and the life. And he didn't just minister in past history, but is alive to be known today as well. He's ministering not just in the past, but in the present as well. And Luke realizes this is why at the end of Luke, you know, with his resurrection, there Jesus is ministering to them on the road to Damascus. And then in communion, they have their eyes open to Jesus's identity. And they think, oh, when we were on the road, weren't these things stirred in us? Because the risen Christ was ministering to them through the Scriptures and in the celebration of communion. And so Jesus is alive today to be known as well. And we will encounter him in this study in the Gospel according to Luke. And so, brothers and sisters, the facts and fulfillments concerning Christ and his ministry that Luke narrates for us is what we have to look forward to studying together for the next while here. And it's going to be amazing because Jesus is amazing and his ministry is